today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Dear brothers, dear sisters, Salamun Alaikum. So welcome to this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. Today we're going to speak about the answer of this question: why do we remember Imam al-Hussein, peace be upon him?
As-salamu alayka ya Sayyida Shuhada. As-salamu alayka ya Aba Abdullah.
But first we look at the calendar. Today is Saturday, 26th of Zilhijjah, 1444 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 24th of the month of Tir, 1402 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 15th of July, 2023 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. Today we listen to the first verses of chapter الفجر.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
In the name of Allah, the entirely merciful, the especially merciful.
والفجر.
By the dawn.
وليال عشر.
And by the 10 nights. And by the even number and the odd. And by the night when it passes. Is there not in all that an oath sufficient for one of perception?
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
A tradition from Imam al-Sadiq, peace be upon him, says, recite Surah Fajr, which is Husayn ibn Ali's Surah, in your prayers, whether they be obligatory or optional. He who recites it will be with him, Imam al-Husayn, at the same place in heaven on the Day of Judgment. Introducing this Surah as Husayn ibn Ali's Surahs may be for the reason that the clear example of the serene soul, as mentioned at the end of the surah, is Husayn ibn Ali alayhi salam, as the idea has also been cited from Imam al-Sadiq, peace be upon him, about the same verses.
My life is not the same when I'm too concerned by what they say. Why should I when I have you? Doubt you would be the worst mistake. Deep inside I know that amidst all the darkness and everything which makes no sense, I know that you exist. You are the light that guides me through my darkest nights, shows me right from wrong in life. A world that often lies, cause
I don't need
anyone. Anything in life but you. No, I don't need anyone to show me my way. No, I don't need anyone but you.
Now we go directly to the answer of the question that is the topic of this episode of today's special. Why do we remember Imam al-Hussein, peace be upon him? The month of Muharram is a book so expensive and worthwhile. Its days and nights, hours and moments are pages with ontological and deontological lessons. Indeed, Muharram teaches men how to live and die. By saying, "We shall never accept disgrace," Imam al-Hussein, peace be upon him, sent a message to all human generations at all ages, times, and lands to seek justice and truth, and to rise up against unjust rulers and tyrannical governments, and not to surrender to them. In addition, when he was alone facing thousands of bloodthirsty criminals, he called out loud, "Is there any helper to help us?" It was as though he asked all conscious men and human generation at all times to help him.
Every year, whenever the Muharram season approaches, you find Muslims and followers of the school of Ahlul Bayt every year. They drape their bodies and masajid and Husayniyat in black, ready to mourn the tragedy of Karbala and remember the legacy of Imam al-Husayn. We gather for 10 nights in some areas and places over 2 months to commemorate the event of Ashura and the legacy of Aba Abdullah al-Husayn. Some people might pose the question, is this not going too far? Why is it that every single year, come Muharram, we have to come to these majalis, we repeat the same stories, we learn about Aba Abdullah every single year? Why do we have this set routine? Why do we engage in this repetitive behavior? According to the Harvard Business Review, engaging in the act of storytelling and being a recipient of storytelling, simply hearing stories, has numerous physiological and psychological benefits. So according to this article, when you begin to hear a story, and especially if it's a story that resonates, it resonates with your core, it hits home, what happens? Number one, cortisol is released in the body to help you focus, to help you pay attention to what you're hearing. The hormone oxytocin is released within the body. This chemical promotes bonding. It promotes having affection for others, increasing your sense of empathy. And in fact, when certain subjects were artificially given oxytocin, thank you, they were gauged by reports later on to engage in more empathetic behavior. When you're a recipient of storytelling, dopamine, the feel-good chemical, right? When you engage in some kind of action that makes you feel good, the chemical responsible for that, released by the brain, is dopamine. When you hear a story that resonates with you, the chemical dopamine is released inside your body. All these physiological effects come to work together to make storytelling an incredibly unique experience. If you ever try to teach kids, you know, whether a 5-year-old kid or a 10-year-old kid, try to teach them a theory, try to teach them some statistics, make them memorize some numbers, it'll be very difficult, impossible. It's not that easy. But tell a kid a story once, make it an engaging story, be passionate while you speak it, right? Add some extra spices. That kid is never going to forget the story, even if it's repeated to them just once. It's as if, subhanAllah, we have a biological disposition towards hearing stories, towards engaging in storytelling. Thus, you find within the Quran, there's all forms of didactic storytelling. Stories in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to convey a message.
Ya Hussein, Hussein, Hussein.
Lessons of Muharram.
Ya Hussein, Hussein, Hussein. Ya Hussein.
For today, we learn about one of the lessons from Imam al-Hussein, peace be upon him, that is submission to Allah's will. Imam al-Hussein knew about his fate from a young age when his grandfather, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him and his pure progeny, would mention how he will be left alone in a land called Karbala. Yet Imam al-Hussein always accepted his fate, and even on the day of Ashura when he was left all alone, he never doubted Allah's plan. Abu Abdullah's submission to Allah the Almighty is most evident through the eloquence of Dua Arafah, where for the entirety he was praising Allah and giving gratitude, and only at the time he asks for protection against the hellfire. This therefore teaches us a significant lesson in always submitting to Allah, even in the most difficult times.
Reflecting on different Islamic topics, short commentary of the Holy Quran, hadiths of the Infallibles, lessons from the life of the Infallibles, all in today's special from IRIB English Radio.
You are with today's special from IRIB English Radio. In this part, we listen to Ayatollah Khamenei's speech regarding the movement of Imam al-Hussein, peace be upon him. Now I would like to discuss a point regarding the efforts to promote Islam in the month of Muharram. Some people may question the value of ceremonies for mourning Imam al-Hussein's martyrdom. They may say, if you want to speak about Imam al-Hussein's movement, just go ahead and speak about his movement. Why all the crying? This is a wrong assumption. It will be extremely hard to move ahead on this path in the absence of this emotional connection to the infallible Imams. This is why Imam Khomeini, may Allah rest his soul in peace, recommended the traditional forms of mourning. Sayyid Abbas Razavian.
Many times when we think about and ponder about the ziyarat of Ashura, it is important for us to know that when you say salams and you give your salutations to Imam Hussein alayhi salam, that that itself is something good. That this is what the angels are doing. This is what the creation is doing, that they are crying for Imam Hussein alayhi salam. But even though it itself is something good, they call this mawdu'i, its subject, it itself is something good. We are looking to get something out of Ziyarat Ashura. And this we can call it tariqi, meaning this is a path for us to refine ourselves. There is a spiritual journey inside Ziyarat Ashura. And inshallah, in the following days, we're going to be talking about some of the journeys that we start. For example, when we think about bala and we think about the calamity of Ashura, which is the first step we'll be talking about, inshallah. Then we'll be talking about the great grief of Ashura, making sure that we are in line with Imam Hussein, that his affliction is our affliction. And then we'll be thinking about having silm with Imam Hussein, meaning that we are peace with him. We are at peace with those that follow him. We are in the camp of Imam Hussein. And then, inshallah, we'll reach Maqam Mahmud, which is the position of Imam Hussein, which is the position of the Holy Prophet, which is the praiseworthy status. So Ziyarat Ashura is a spiritual journey for us. As you know, one of the important lessons of Ziyarat Ashura is that Mahdawiyat or Mahdism is inside of Ziyarat Ashura. That we pray that we become the companions of Imam Mahdi, that he will revenge those that have oppressed Imam Hussein, and that we can become his companions, and that we can help him and aid him as he seeks revenge from the oppressors of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. So inshallah, this Muharram, this is a time for us to refine ourselves, to increase our spirituality, and we can do it with this great gift from Imam Muhammad al-Baqir alayhi salam, by reciting Ziyarat Ashura in our centers, by reciting Ziyarat Ashura at home, by thinking about the Arabic meaning of Ziyarat Ashura, by implementing this.
Dear brothers and sisters, thank you very much for joining us. That was all for today's special. Inshallah, we continue speaking about Imam al-Hussein and learn more about his school of thought. Thank you and fi amanillah. Allahumma ij'al mahyaya mahyaya Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad wa mamati mamata Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.